All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get started. What's wrong? You look sad. Hey, it is good to have you all here this morning. I got a couple of things for you, and this morning's going to be a little bit different than a normal Sunday, which I'll explain to you in a moment. But first of all, just so you know, Mike was talking about lunch, but Mike, unless you want to give lunch, prepare lunch for everyone, you've missed an important detail. You got to bring something to share.
Did they even get a handout?
Yeah, it's right here. Sorry, Mike. I'm calling him out. He did such a good job on announcements, and then look, I'm giving him a hard time. So anyway, you got one of these on the way in. June 5th, if you're going to be here, we're going to talk about our church, who we are as a church, what we're doing as a church, and then Mike can't make lunch for everyone, so you have to bring something to share. And so right on the bottom of that flyer, it says, if your last name starts with that letter, bring that item, and we just bring it all. You can bring it in a crock pot or whatever, and then we get it all out right after church, and we have lunch together. So that's my fault. We had a miscommunication. My fault. You did a great job. The other announcement I have, which is a really important one, is this. One of our most important and critical key outreaches in our community is our Vacation Bible School. And I know when you say Vacation Bible School, it sounds kind of lame. It's not like that at all. We have a rowdy good time with like 50 or 60 kids here over the summer. But what that takes is when you have 50 or 60 kids, like me and Mike can't do this alone, okay? And so we need a bunch of help with that. And so if you can be here, it's July 11th through the 14th. We need people help all over the place. We need help in the kitchen. We need help leading games. We need help leading groups. We need setup, tear down, security, all kinds of different jobs. So if you hear, I need help with VBS, and you say, I don't do the kid thing, that's okay. We can hide you in the kitchen, okay? And you can still help. So please, if you can help with VBS, make sure you put your name, your phone number on one of those connection cards, and just write VBS on it and drop it in the box. We'll get in touch with you. Tony. Oh, good point. I was thinking it and I forgot it. We're changing it a little bit this year, which is positive. Before we did this five-day thing, Monday through Friday, and we're actually shortening it a little bit because what we found is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are awesome, and then Thursday and Friday, things start getting broken, and so what we're doing is we're going to have VBS like normal, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Wednesday is going to be like the big final finish, and then Thursday, we're going to invite all the parents, all the kids back, and we're going to get some bouncers, and we're just going to have a party, and so it's going to be a little bit shorter, of a time, but it's going to be just as much fun, and you get one less day. Tony's got something else. It's 6 to 8 p.m. Only 2 hours. Oh, Tony. Thank you, Tony, for reminding me of those details. So anyway, we need lots of help. Please write VBS on your connection card and let us know if you can help. We'll call you and we'll say, hey, what can you help with? We won't just stick you somewhere you don't want to be. So let us know, okay? So with that, if you guys have a Bible, grab it and open up to Acts chapter 2. And if you don't have a Bible with you today, that's okay. Grab one out of the pew in front of you, borrow one of ours, and open it up to Acts chapter 2. And if we'd like to let you know that if you don't own a Bible, you are more than welcome to take one of ours as a gift from us to you. But good for everybody to have a copy of God's Word in their hand. And if you have a phone or an iPad that you're reading the Bible on, I can go with that for today, okay? So Acts chapter 2. Now you may be saying, why are we going in Acts? And if you've been with us any amount of time, you should know that we're traveling through the New Testament book by book, chapter by chapter. A couple of years ago, we started in John. We went through Acts. We went through Romans. We went through 1 Corinthians. Now we're in 2 Corinthians. Why are we going back to Acts? Well, today's a special day. We've been announcing it for a while. Some of you know about it. Some of you don't. And some of you are visiting today. And if you're just visiting today, that's okay because you're going to get some really good information about what it means to be a member of any church, not just our church, but any church. But once a year, we do this thing, and it's today. There was a flyer on your seat when you sat down. It's called Membership Sunday. And so what we're going to do for the next 30 minutes is we're going to talk about membership. Now, I know when you think of membership, the first thing you think is boring, a commitment I don't want to make. What else do you want from me, Daniel? You're already twisting my arm. When it comes to church membership, I hope that you leave today with a different attitude about it than that, because I think there's a lot more to it than me just wanting more from you. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today is church membership. Now, it's specific to our church, what we believe church membership is and the way membership works out in our church. But everything that we're going to teach about today from Acts and a couple of other places in the Bible, it's scriptural. So what we're going to talk about membership, any church you go to, any church you visit, if you're not from around here, this is going to be awesome information for you. Now, most of you have probably been involved in other churches, and when you hear the pastor get up and start talking about membership, you think, okay, so he's going to talk about membership, and then I'm going to have to go to a class on Sunday afternoons, and then I'm going to have to meet with him, and he's going to interview me, and then I'm going to have to stand up in front of the church and give my testimony, and then I get to be a member, right? And if you've ever been in another church, probably you've gone through some sort of process like that, even if it was just a class. Well, the elders and I, from almost the very beginning of me starting here, which has almost been 3 years, we started thinking, how can we bring these people, these new folks that are coming to our church, how can we add them to our church as members without going through this crazy process that no one wants to go through? And so what we did was, and it was kind of a novel thought, we thought, well, how does the Bible handle church membership? And so we started in the book of Acts, which is really where the church is birthed. We looked at a couple of other places, and over about a year's time, we came up with this idea of Membership Sunday. It's important to us for a couple of reasons. It's important to us because, I don't know if you know this or not, we're going to get to it later in my sermon, but you as church members, when you belong to this church, that actually puts a huge responsibility on the leadership of this church. The Bible actually says that the leaders of the church will be held accountable by God, that we will stand before God to give an account on how we cared for you and watched over you spiritually. That's a pretty big responsibility. That means someday I, Tony, the other leaders in this church are going to stand before God, and God's going to ask about you. Why weren't you there for me? Why weren't you there for that person then? Why didn't you give them better advice? When they stopped coming to church, why didn't you chase them down? Why didn't you chase the strays? We have to do that. And so it's important for us to know who our membership is. And so that's why once a year on a Sunday, we make a big deal out of it. The other thing that's going to be a little bit different, we're going to talk about it in a minute. We redo this every single year because here's what happens in the church. And it doesn't matter if you're a church of 50 people or a church of 100 people or a church of 10,000. You do these membership classes, and you bring all these people into membership, and before you know it, you have this giant list of names. In our case, it could be 150 or 200 people long, and guess what? 100 of them don't even come to church here anymore. So that's another reason why we do this every year, because we need to know who we're caring for. Who are our people? Who are we responsible for? And so every year, we give people who have just started coming here an opportunity to join for the first time. And also, we give all the current members who've been a member for a long time an opportunity to recommit. So the next question is, and I know we just were Americans, we have commitment issues, okay? So I'm going to talk a lot about commitment this morning because I feel like as a church, and even just as an American church, and as Americans, we have commitment issues. But you say, well, why do I need to recommit every single year? I'm here, you know I'm here, I love the church, I serve in the church. Don't take it offensively that we're asking you to recommit. Recommitment is healthy. We recommit to things all the time. We recommit to the gym, we recommit to diets on January 1st, right? And then we have to recommit all over again, I realize, okay? You know, at times in our life, maybe when we've been married for a long time, we make a recommitment to our spouse. We recommit to different things all the time. And so it's healthy to say, you know what? I still believe in this church. I'm still a part of this church. I still want to serve in this church. And that's good for us to know. And so for all of those reasons, once a year, we get together and we talk about what it means to be a church member. And so basically what I'm going to do for the rest of the morning is we're just going to go through some scriptures where I believe that God speaks incredibly clearly and incredibly practically about being a church member. Now the other elephant in the room I think is this. Do I have to be a member? Here's the answer. No, you don't. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's nothing in the Bible where it says you have to be a member of a local church. There's no command like we see other commands in Scripture. But I believe as we go through Scripture today, you'll see the reasons And I think you'll be encouraged. And I think you'll be challenged and convicted to be a member of a church because it's a two-way street. I know a lot of times you feel like we're just always asking for more commitment, more things, more help. But membership is such a two-way street when you're a part of a church. And so I just really want to encourage you to look at this morning with an open mind. Because even if you say, well, if I don't have to be a church member, then why would I? Think about what it means. When you become a member of something, it says something about who you are. Specifically, when you think about being a church member, that speaks to something powerful about what you believe. I believe in this church. I believe what this church is doing. I believe in what Christ is doing through this church. It makes a huge statement to the people around you. I talked about commitment issues. We live in such a low commitment society that to actually commit to something and follow through with it is an amazing highlight in our life. And so if we commit to a church and our family and our friends and our neighbors see us committing to church, to attend church, to serve in the church, to support the church, that makes a big statement to the people around us. Not only that, but we weren't meant to be people who did everything on our own. We in America, we want to be independent. We think we can take care of everything by ourselves. I don't need your help. I don't need his help. I don't need her help. I can do this on my own. In fact, I was just having breakfast with Mike Lardy this last week, and this little old lady was sitting next to us. We're sitting at a bar, but it wasn't a bar. You know what I mean? Like at the breakfast place. What do you call that at like a cafe? A bar? A what? A counter. We were at the counter. It didn't even have a bar, for clarity's sake. And this little old lady was sitting next to me, and she was chatting my ear off. And she said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a pastor at a little church in Crestline." And she said, "Oh, that's nice. I love the Lord." And I said, "Cool. You go? What church do you go to?" "Oh, I don't go to church." But you know what? That's typical. There are tons and tons of believers who love the Lord with all their heart. I believe that, but they're not connected to a body. And clearly in Scripture, we are supposed to be connected to other believers, to challenge one another, encourage one another, to help one another, to care for one another. And so remember that we weren't meant to be independent people. And then as I already mentioned, this is a two-way road. Yeah, when we go through this list of things that we're asking for you to commit to as a church member, we're asking for a lot. Being a member of the church is a big deal. It's a big commitment. But we're responsible for you. We pray for you. We call you. Some of you have gotten calls from us, voicemails, and you think, well, why are they calling? Why is Tony leaving me a voicemail? And you don't call back, which is fine. We do that not because you're in trouble, not because we just want to bother you. We're not coming to your windows and like peeping through the blinds, okay? But it's our job to make sure that you're healthy and that you're cared for. And that's when you get those phone calls, don't think it's weird. It's because we're shepherds looking after the flock as God calls us to. And so when you get those phone calls, call us back. But if you don't, it doesn't hurt our feelings. But just so you know, that's why we call. Because it's our job to make sure that everything is okay with you. And then the final reason, this is what we're going to spend basically the rest of the time on, is that church membership is obviously biblical. Now you guys all know Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfect and sinless life. You know that for 3 years he spent time on the earth making disciples, training them, teaching them, preparing them. And do you know what he was preparing them for? He was preparing them to continue on the mission that he had done of reaching the lost, of preaching the gospel, of seeing people saved from their sins. And Jesus' plan for that was not just a bunch of rogue guys doing it on their own, but his plan for that was the church. And so that's why he was taking those 12 guys, he was preparing them to be church leaders, to be church planners. And so Jesus comes to the end of his life. You guys know the stories. He's just downloading all this information, teaching these guys, telling them what to do. And then Jesus goes to the cross. And he dies for the burden of all of our sins. And then 3 days later, he's risen to life. And apparently he didn't tell them enough in those 3 years that he hung around earth for a little while longer and kept telling them some more stuff. And you guys are very well versed on the Great Commission, where Jesus says, "Now this is what I want you to do. I'm leaving, you're staying. I want you to go to all nations and make disciples." And then coming to the very beginning of the book of Acts, we're nearly there to where we're going to jump into Scripture. Jesus gets these guys, the few believers, together. And it's almost picture of him standing on this hill. And he knows he's getting ready to go to heaven. He's going back. He's going to sit on the throne with the Father. And the disciples are there, and he says, okay, guys. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously. He says, I've told you what to do. I've trained you. I've showed you. You're going to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. You're going to go all over the earth making disciples just as I made you. And he says, but don't go yet, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to live in you, to give you power, strength, and courage, and wisdom. And at that, Jesus goes to heaven. The disciples are a little shell-shocked, you can imagine. The man who had been leading them all that time, all of a sudden he's gone. They know that all these people are against Christianity. They killed Jesus over Christianity. And they're thinking, Jesus is gone, now what are we going to do? These two angels appear and say, did you not just hear what he said? Go wait for the Holy Spirit and get ready. And this is where we get to the beginning of Acts chapter 2. Then the Holy Spirit comes. It's called the Day of Pentecost. And it just fills all the believers. And these great miracles start happening. In fact, the first miracles as the Holy Spirit comes into them are these men pour out onto the streets, and they're speaking all these different languages. There are people gathered in this town from all different nations, all different ethnicities, and these disciples who might have known one, maybe two languages at most, all of a sudden they're speaking these words, and everyone of all these different languages can hear them speaking the gospel. And everyone is just amazed, and this huge crowd gathers, thousands of people gather as the Holy Spirit is just doing these amazing miracles. And Peter, the disciple that's guilty of disowning Jesus, Peter, the one who appeared strong at times, but so often was cowardly, Peter, with 3,000 people or more probably gathered, stands up and preaches a sermon. And it was one of the most powerful sermons, one of the most life-changing sermons that anyone on this world has ever heard. And that's basically most of what chapter 2 is Peter's sermon. And coming to the end of his sermon is really where the church as we know it, the church of Christ, the people of Christ coming together, really is birthed. And so let's look at it. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 41. Now when they heard this, that's Peter's sermon. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his words were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. I need to grab one of these sheets that you guys got. On your pew when you came in, there should have been a few of these. If there weren't enough for everyone, I've got some extras up here. This is where we're going to jump onto this sheet. This is membership for Woodlands Church, okay? We make it simple. It doesn't even have a back, okay? And we make it biblical. And so right where we're going to start is right at the top. It says qualifications of membership, and it lists the scripture right here. And when we talk about being qualified for membership, we're talking about what do you have to believe in order to be a member of our church? And that's what we're going to talk through right now. You know, we could make all kinds of different qualifications. We could say you have to do this, you have to be that, you have to go there, you have to be here, you have to give this much. We don't do that because we don't see that in Scripture. What I see in Scripture in these few verses as the church comes together are just these few things. Number one, you could call it desire. It's what I call it on the handout. You could call it conviction. You could call it being cut to the heart. Peter preaches this message to all the people who are about to become the church, and it says they were cut to the heart. They were convicted. They had desire. They had desire to be a part of what Peter was talking about. They had a desire to follow Christ. They were convicted by this message. And so to be a member of the church, I believe first and foremost, it's something that you should desire. You should be convicted to live your life for Jesus Christ first and foremost. And secondly, you should want to be a part of the church. It's not my place to twist your arm and say, you have to be a member. It's not my place to twist your arm and say, if you're going to participate in the church, you have to be a member. We don't say any of those things. But what we believe is that you have to be convicted to follow Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you have to have your own desire to be a part of the church. So number one, that's it. You have to be convicted to follow Christ. The second one you see there, and they kind of, number two and number three kind of come together. It says, Peter tells them when they're convicted, and they say, Peter, what do we do? He says, repent and be baptized. Let's talk about repentance first. First and foremost, I always like to talk about this idea of repentance. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. I know a lot of times when guys like me stand up in front of the church and talk about repentance, you think, well, that means I'm turning from my sin and I'm never going to make a mistake again. That's just not who we are. That doesn't mean we're okay with our sin. That doesn't mean we go on sinning. But what it means is that I have a heartfelt conviction that Jesus Christ has forgiven me of my sin, and now I'm going to walk towards him and away from my sin. The actual word just means to turn. My sin is here, I'm turning my back on it, and I'm walking towards Christ. To be a member of our church, you have to have asked forgiveness of your sins and be walking towards Christ. Again, it's not perfect. Not a single one of us are perfect. Every one of us make a mistake. But has your heart changed so that you want to walk closer to Christ and away from your sin? And if so, then you have a repentant heart. And then the third thing that Peter mentions is baptism. He says, repent and be baptized. You want to be a part of this thing? He says, repent and be baptized. Now, I know there's a whole bunch of theology on baptism. Do I have to be baptized to be saved? We're not a Baptist church. We're not going to get into the theology of baptism and salvation here. We can have our own beliefs on that. In essential beliefs, we have unity. In non-essential beliefs, we have freedom. We're not going to get into a debate about baptism here, except to say that Peter said, if you want to be a part of this thing, turn from your sin, be baptized, and show your friends, your family, and all these people that you believe in Jesus Christ. So then the other question that comes up, well, I've been baptized in another church. No problem. You've been baptized in another Bible-believing church. You don't have to be baptized here to be a member. Another question that comes up, I want to be a member today, but I haven't been baptized. What should I do? Fill this out. Drop it in the box. Write on your connection card that you want to be baptized. We'll fill the pool up next week and we'll get you in, okay? And we'll try to get the heater working. If you guys were here on Easter, the water was like 43 degrees. Sorry. So qualifications to be a member, just to review. There's not 101. We believe that there's three biblically. You have to be convicted. You have to be following Christ. You have to have turned from your sin and be walking towards faith. And you have to have been baptized. Very simplistically, that's what I see in Scripture. That's what I see from these few verses. I'm sure there's other places in the Bible you could pull all different types of things from. But from what we believe here at Woodlands about making things simple and biblical, that's what we see. You're convicted, you've been changed, you're following Christ, and you've been baptized. So those are the qualifications. If you believe those things, if you've done those things, if you're headed in the right direction, you are welcome to become a member of our church today. But that's only the beginning. You know, I think sometimes we have these experiences, particularly in church, where we think, okay, I've reached the finish line, but we don't realize we've only gone past the starting line. You know, you think about salvation, and we love those times when somebody raises their hand or gets up and says, I'm saved, I've been saved, or they get in the pool and they've been baptized, and we think they've made it across the finish line. We know that's not true. We know that's just the starting line. And that's really how church membership is too. When you're a part of a body, being qualified to be a member of those three things, it's just the starting line. When you become a member, there's other things that we have to do and we have to be a part of as we commit to being a member of the body of Christ. And those things actually come right after these verses I just read. So let's look at them. We're going to read verses 42 through 47. 42 through 47. So all of these people accept Christ, they repent, they're baptized. It says about 3,000 of them became the church that day. What did they do? This is what they did. Verse 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking breads in their home, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So all these people become the church. On this day, all these people come, they're part of the church, the church is birthed. What did they do? Well, there's four things. Again, they're right on this membership form. There's four very specific things I see. Number one, they committed to follow the apostles' teaching. Now, apostles is one of those big words that we say in church and we don't define very often, okay? Understand that I'm not an apostle. There are no apostles among us. And so I actually believe the best way for us to understand this is that we follow biblical teaching. If you've been at Woodlands any amount of time, you know that we try our darndest to be incredibly faithful to Scripture in everything all the time. You've heard me say that I will not allow someone to preach on the stage who I do not have faith that will preach the Bible faithfully and accurately and correctly. And so when we ask you to follow the same commitment that the church followed, I'm saying follow biblical teaching. The things we teach here I believe are biblical. I'm not infallible though. I might be wrong on things. What I want you to follow is the Word. I do my best every week to give you the word and to teach it to you the best I possibly can, but you follow this. As a member of a church, you follow Scripture. You follow the word, and you follow biblical teaching. The second thing that's happening here is fellowship. They say they're coming together. They're part of a fellowship. They're breaking bread together. Fellowship, like the word apostle. It's one of those words that Christians throw out all the time, and has actually become incredibly watered down. When we hear the word fellowship, we think, okay, we're going to have a fellowship gathering. We're going to have a fellowship meal. We're going to have a fellowship barbecue. We're going to have a fellowship basketball game. We're going to get together and fellowship. And do you know what that equals? Fellowship, in that sense, equals hangout. We're going to get together and hang out. Now, hanging out is a building block of fellowship. It's a piece, but only a small piece. The church needs to come together. We need to get to know one another. We need to have relationships with one another. But fellowship in biblical terms means so much more. If you just read along with me those few verses, these people loved each other and cared for each other so much that it says they were taking their own things, selling them, and giving the money to the people in the church that had need. Church, that's who we are and that's what we do. That's what fellowship is. We make sure that we are all taken care of and that none goes without. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to make sure that everyone has the pleasantries of the world. It just means that I make sure that you have a roof over your head, you have food in your mouth, you have water to drink, and you have clothes on your back. But we care for each other and we make sure everyone is taken care of. Practically, what that means is that you give of yourself here. You give of your time to serve. You give of your talent to serve. You give of your finances and your resources to help the people in the body. That's a much more biblical definition of fellowship. The third thing it says they committed themselves to is prayer. This is another one in the American church we lack. We go about our lives and we don't pray enough. We go about our lives and we think our time is better spent working and doing than prayer. No, we are called to be a body that prays. That's one of the reasons why we started our prayer nights. Our next one is on June 1st. We come together as a church on the first day of every month to give a little piece of our time back to the Lord on the first in prayer. But you should be doing more than that. You should be praying on a daily basis. You should be praying for the church. You should be praying for one another. You should be praying for the community. And if you're a member of our church, you should probably really be on the prayer chain. All the prayer requests that go out every week, you should probably be on that so you can be praying for our church and praying for the needs on the church. The fourth thing it says is they were attending temple or they were attending worship together. The idea here isn't that they were coming together on a set time, on a set day, all the time, but what they were doing was they were making a priority to meet together and to be together. In our terms at Woodlands, that means we come together here as a church. We meet and we worship. We hear the word of God proclaimed. We come together. You know, there's a couple of statistics that float around, and I'm going to give you one of them about the church today. And one that hurts my heart a little bit. Because in so many ways, I want Woodlands to be different. You guys know that about me. I want us to be different. I don't want us just to be average. I don't want us just to get by. I want us to make a difference. And I want us to be different than the average. But in this way, we're actually perfectly average. There's a statistic floating around the church today that the average church goer, church attender, only attends church 1.8 times per month. That's less than half the time. And I want to be perfectly frank with you, I've run our numbers. I know there's probably about 125 to 150 people that would call Woodlands their home church. That includes kids, okay? You know how many people we have here on a Sunday morning? Almost exactly 50% of that. We have 60 to 70 here on average on a given Sunday. That means we fall perfectly in line with the rest of the American church, and that drives me crazy. On a serious note, it's just important we come together. I was talking to Nancy actually before the service, and she said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "Okay," you know, just like that. And she said, "Are you sure about that? Didn't seem very honest." And I said, "Actually, that was really honest, because I didn't have such a great week, but I'm having a really great morning, and so I'm okay." And there's something about coming together as a family on a Sunday morning, hugging each other, smiling, telling jokes, and just enjoying this time together. And so it's not that I just want more butts in the seat. It's that I want us to experience what the church is supposed to be together. So anyway, let's recap this really quick, okay? Because I know I'm throwing like a million things at you at once. To be a member of the church, you just have to have desire, repented, following Christ, and have been baptized. When you become a member, this is what we're asking you to do as a member. Be committed to the Bible, be committed to fellowship as we defined it, be committed to worship, to coming together, and be committed to prayer. Okay, we're almost there. There's one last section you see there, which is the commission of members. The commission of members is, what then does this mean? What do I do? What are the actions behind this? Now that I'm a member, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, what am I supposed to do? So let's look at it here. Move in your Bibles. We're going to move over a couple of different times here, but move in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Some of you probably were reading ahead. That's okay. And if you're already there, great. Matthew chapter 22. So as a Christian, as a believer, as a member of the church, now what am I supposed to go and do? And that's what a commission is. It's a mission. And we get two of them right here from Matthew 22, 36 through 40. I'm going to read it, Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? So someone's asking Jesus, what's the most important thing in this book? That's literally what the guy was asking. What's the most important thing in this book? This is what Jesus says, verse 37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So number one and number two on your membership handout come straight from these verses. Number one, our commission, the greatest command, number one for us as believers is to love God. I like to make sure that I clarify myself on this, and I know I'm going kind of long here, but when we say love God, I'm not just talking about an emotional feeling. I'm not just talking about the flutters you feel in your heart. If you have an emotional, loving connection to God, you should, and that's great. But loving God is so much more than that. To love God is in your actions, that you would serve, that you would give, that you would help others. You know, Jesus said, what you do for the least of these, you do for me. And so love is an action, and so we should be loving God in an obvious and visible way. And then Jesus says the second greatest command is this: love your neighbors as yourself. And again, this is action, okay? We're not going to love out of our heart all of our neighbors. We're going to have difficult people in our lives. We're going to have people that we butt heads with. But the call is still the same, that we would love them as we would want to be loved. And so as Christians and as members of the church, our mission is to first love God, and then to secondly, it is to love and care for the people around you, the community around you, and sacrifice your time and treasure to fill the needs of others. That's what it means to love God and love your neighbor. Turn just a couple of pages over to Matthew 28. Another one that's familiar. A lot of you could probably just say this by heart. But Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is the Great Commission. So Jesus says, love God, love others. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Now the 11 disciples, verse 18, I started in 16. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Number three, when it comes to our mission as Christians, when you're a part of this church, what are we called to? We're called to make disciples. Now, I don't need to go into this in a long-winded way. None of this should surprise any of you. You know we believe here that we're making disciples, that it is our job to be involved in other people's lives, not just my job, all of our jobs, to be involved in other people's lives, encouraging them and challenging them to live their life for Jesus Christ. And we don't just tell you how to do that, or we don't just tell you to do that and then leave you out on your own. We'll show you, we'll train you, we'll help you. And from time to time, you'll see things come up about a training event or a get-together where we're talking about discipleship and teaching about discipleship. But those are the three missions or commissions of members of our church. Love God, love your neighbor, and go and make disciples. Okay, so you say, Daniel, so you've just given me, what is that, 10 things that I have to be qualified for or do. So what does this do for me? Now, obviously, as Christians, our heart shouldn't always be, what do I get out of this deal? But let's be fair about this. To be a member of a church, there are things that you get or that are a part of the deal. That's how God set it up, not just that you would give everything, but that in return, you would receive. I'm not going to have you turn there because we're just running a little bit late on time. You can jot it down, look at it another time, but Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, it talks about what a pastor's job is or a leader's job is. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. One of the primary responsibilities of a pastor and of the leadership team is to teach you, train you, and help you to become the people of God that you're called to be. That's why we have church. That's why we have discipleship groups. That's why we have discipleship training. It's so that we can teach you, train you, and help you to become the person that you're called to be. So that's one of the things you get in return, and that's in that bottom paragraph on the membership handout. And then the last thing, it's Hebrews 13, 17. And I do want to turn there with you on that just so you guys can see this. So turn over. It's kind of far to the right. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. I should have marked it. I'll find it here eventually. Come on, I know it's here somewhere. Just before James, I know. Where is it? Come on. I need those little tabs. Sword drills. Who's got it? Let me see. I'm going to cheat so I don't waste any more time. I do need to do sword drills. I used to do those in school. Thank you, Mike. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I won't sneak a peek at any of your other notes in there. They're too small. this verse really encompasses our responsibility to you. Our responsibility to you as the leaders of the church is to watch over you and to care for you. And I know a couple of those words in there tend to bother us. Submit to authority. Let them rule over you with joy. And you think, I don't want to submit. I don't want to follow your rules, because that's just our heart as human beings. But the purpose here is that you would come under our care. And as a church, we would watch over you. We would care for you. We would love you and make sure you're headed in the right direction as a follower of Christ. So I fully realize in about 35 minutes, I've thrown way too much at you. And so some of you are going, I'm not here yet, Daniel. Like, I'm not ready in 30 minutes to become a member. That's okay. If you have any questions, thoughts, find me after church, find Tony. If you have any questions, put them on your connection card. I'll call you. Shoot me an email, anything. We can talk about it. This isn't like you have to sign it today, okay? This isn't a used car dealership. You're only going to get this deal today. It's not like that, okay? We want you to be a member, but we want you to be comfortable with it, and we want you to understand it. And so if you want to be a church member, you just check new member. If you haven't been a member before, if you're already a member, check it. Put your name, put your date, drop it in the box. If you've already been a member of the church, just let us know you're still on board. Just fill it out, check current member, drop it in the box. We want to know who's still on board, who's still supporting, who's still serving. Side note to this, yes, ma'am. Yeah, but let's talk about it. Yeah, but that's an excellent question. So drop it in the box, fill it out, let us know if you have any questions. Let us know, we'll talk about it. It's not a do or die thing. Let us know. Side note that I was getting to on this, you may think, well, what about all the people who aren't here? Because there's 60 of us here today, and there's 60 of us that aren't. Well, here's what we do. We don't just take today and say, this is it. Those people who aren't here, we follow up with. We send them a letter, we call, we see where they're at. Are you still a member here? Is this still your church home? We make sure they're still on board. And so next year, if you're not here on this day, we'll get a hold of you, and you can expect a phone call. If you commit to membership today, you drop it in the box, you'll be getting a letter from us in the mail in the next couple of days or in the next week or two, just with some information about being a member, and you'll know everything is good. So that's about all I have to say today. If you have any questions, please let us know. I believe that being a member is an important thing. I think everyone should belong to a local body of Christ, and that's my heart for us. So I'm going to pray. John's going to come back up, drop those membership forms in the offering box on your way out. If you have any questions, come talk to us afterwards. Give us a call or email us. I'm going to pray. John's going to come up, and we're going to close this morning with a little bit of worship. Father, a lot to talk about this morning. Father, so many things, and I know it felt like a little bit of a whirlwind. It felt like that for me. But Father, I pray that you would just give each one of us clarity. I pray that you would give each one of us direction. Father, I pray that you would show each one of us in our hearts if we should be a part of this church or any church, Father. And Lord, for those in this room, Father, who maybe haven't even experienced that first part yet, Father. For those who maybe haven't experienced, Father, that conviction yet. For those who haven't turned from their sin. Father, for those who haven't been baptized yet, Father, I pray that in their heart this morning, you would do a great work. Father, show them the truth of who you are. Father, show them the truth of your Son. Father, show them the truth of your Spirit. And Father, work mightily. Father, I thank you for the many in this room who are members, who do support, who are here through thick and through thin, through ups and through downs. And Father, I thank you for those today who are going to become members. I thank you for adding to this body so we can serve this community better, so we can serve the church better, so we can serve one another better. And Father, in all things, my prayer over us and over this church, Father, would be that you would just unite us and bring us together. Father, so that in this community, in this little tiny town, Father, we could, that through us, Father, there would be a movement for the gospel, that there would be a movement of people coming to you, Father. So Father, we thank you so much for this place. Thank you so much for the beauty all around us. We thank you for giving us this community, Father, so that we can go and share with others. Father, you are good in all ways. And we thank you for time after time proving to us your goodness and your faith. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.